Immigration stats continue to be presented, stands continue to be taken, trips to the southern border, news conferences are held, political and advocate faces appear on cable news channels. As all that takes place, border crossings continue, and according to a recent report, now at all-time record levels. Does the answer to illegal immigration rest with one side or the other, or somewhere in between, some combination of the two? With us now to examine the latest facts about illegal immigration from Numbers USA is their Director of Research and Public Relations, Eric Ruark. Thanks for being here today, Eric.
Thank you very much for having me.
NumbersUSA.com. Find out more about the reality and truth and facts about this issue, along with information that will help you communicate your concerns with your elected officials as well, in NumbersUSA.com. I mentioned it's always great when we see in sports a record hit, but in this case, a record is not a good thing. For the first time ever in December, illegal border crossings topped 300,000. Now, it's not like we haven't been not paying attention to this issue. Why is this trend? And I always say, too, it's not where you are. It's the trend that's the danger and the risk that you have to address. Why is this trend continuing to grow and grow and grow?
Well, the short answer is the Biden administration continues to let people in. And so the word is out. The White House argument sort of has been that if people didn't bring attention to this problem, it wouldn't be happening, right? As opposed to if the Biden administration wasn't releasing millions of people, having had released millions of people into the United States, then people wouldn't be coming, right? They have touted the fact when we have had months that weren't record-breaking, but then when we do have a record, the response, and this was the quote from the White House press secretary, this is not unusual. Well, in fact, it is unusual because it's a historic level of illegal immigration that can't be compared to any time in the past other than previous months of the Biden administration. And so as long as the Biden administration keeps allowing people to cross the border illegally and releases them and allows them to remain in the United States, people are going to keep showing up at the border.
Doing some digging for this segment, I came across a study from late last year, November 2nd, from the Cato Institute, and they were looking at DHS numbers. Reinforce what you just say about the level increasing under the Biden administration, but even under the Trump administration, which, to say the least, it was really hard on illegal immigration, DHS made 1.4 million arrests, they call that encounters, in fiscal years 2019-2020, so we're covering 24 months here. Of those people arrested, only 47% were removed. This was as of the end of 2021, which means 52% were released into the United States. Is that part of the issue where it's not the policy, it's the lack of execution of policy?
Well, the laws are on the books. The Biden administration has all the tools it needs. The problem is it's exploiting certain loopholes and certainly abusing its authority. Parole authority is one example, which is supposed to be used on a case-by-case basis. They're using it on a country basis. If you're a Venezuelan or a Haitian, you're going to get paroled into the United States under that program, which is a blatant violation of the law. But so Congress needs to step in and prevent that and tighten up the language. But as you point out, there was a surge under Trump. There was a surge under President Obama. The difference in those administrations is the presidents did take action. Numbers USA, we would argue they didn't take sufficient action, but certainly, particularly in Trump's case, when President Trump instituted the Remain in Mexico policy, where people who were coming and claiming asylum who weren't legitimate asylum seekers, that's a large part of the problem. They had to remain in Mexico while their case was adjudicated. And these are economic migrants. If they know that they're not going to be simply released into the U.S. if they show up at the border, they're going to stop coming. And the difference is when we're seeing the surge, which started day one of the Biden administration, and he rolled back Remain in Mexico on day one. The difference is this administration, even though they're recognizing the political liabilities of the crisis, they're not taking any sufficient action to stem it. In fact, what they're doing is asking for more money to process more people more quickly into the country. And that's where the real political fight's going to come between the House Republicans especially, but also in the Senate. You see Republicans saying, we're not going to give funding to the government unless we have border security. and it's non-negotiable, right? That is at the top of the list. It's not a chip that you trade for something else.
So with Eric Ruark, who is the Director of Research and Public Relations with Numbers USA, numbersusa.com, their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. We always talk about this in the numbers of border crossings, and for a lot of people, that might mean, especially if you're sitting in Minnesota, for example, well, that's all the way down there, all the way up here, who really cares? But there was a study recently done by the Federation for American Immigration Reform that looked at the economic impact of illegal immigration. These numbers should make people care a little more, shouldn't they?
That's true, and they've been doing these going back to the 1990s. They started doing them on a state-by-state basis, and then they eventually did a national study, which breaks it down by state, but also comes up with a total. And the total is over $150 billion. That's for 1 year cost, and then they break it down by taxpayer household, U.S. citizen taxpayer household. It comes out to $1,200 a household for U.S. taxpayers to pay for the cost. And certainly the costs are higher than what you can estimate just simply because the data is limited. And certainly the federal government does not want to collect the data and reveal that to the American public. But you can look at, for instance, public school enrollment, the cost of educating the children of people who have come into the country legally, emergency room care. And certainly there's places who do give direct cash payments to people who are in the country illegally. Chicago is an example. $9,000 that they're giving to assist for housing and furnishings and other things for people who are in the country illegally. So these costs are very real. And what people may not realize is that most of these costs are borne at the state and local level. And we're seeing the evidence of that in New York with the mayors, Mayor Adams there, Mayor Johnson in Chicago. Who are speaking out about the fact, and Mayor Johnson said, this migrant crisis will destroy New York City. It's not sustainable, and cities and communities across the country don't have the resources to deal with this crisis.
I think it's Mayor Adams who is actually starting to institute fines against busing companies, and the way that some people, I think it's in New Jersey, getting around it is they're dropping the buses and the migrants in New Jersey, putting them on trains, public transportation, and sending them into New York City in trains now to get around that fining.
Yeah, and a lot of media attention has been focused on Governor Abbott in Texas and Governor DeSantis as well for busing what they call migrants, which are really inadmissible aliens. Into New York City and other sanctuary jurisdictions. And that has had an effect of bringing this to national attention. But the reality is most of the people who are showing up in these cities and communities across the United States are going there either on their own or on taxpayer dime because the federal government is the largest mover of people, right? At the border, both the government and NGOs who are receiving taxpayer money are the ones who are really transporting these people to the destination of their choice. Our government, in effect, in many cases, is completing the smuggling and the trafficking for the cartels. The cartels bring them to the border, and our federal government takes over from there and brings these people to their final destination.
I want to get into some answers with Eric here, but just as a response to those who say, well, the illegals come in and they pay taxes. Well, that's another part of the aspect of the report from FAIR. Federal tax receipts from illegal aliens totaled in the period they studied $24.6 billion. Net federal impact of illegal aliens on a federal level, $50.2 billion. Want to take that down to a state level? State taxes collected, usually not easy because of the working conditions, but in state level, $15.2 billion in. Net state impact, $100.4 billion out. So that sort of lays that claim as justification to rest. But looking at answers, Eric, you mentioned the stay in Mexico, and there was a very brief point where I believe Mexico reciprocated by saying to migrants and the caravans, stay in Central America before you come to Mexico. Didn't last long, but they at least made a token effort, nothing else. But there's H.R. 2, which really, if you look at H.R. 2, it has very simple solutions, maybe most simple of all is just a simple E-Verify, because as we saw back in the economic downturn back in 2008, 2009, when there aren't any jobs, guess what happens? They either don't come or they leave.
Well, you're right. HR 2 would make Remain in Mexico permanent in the law, as opposed to just the policy put in place by the executive. And it would make mandatory E-Verify, or it would make E-Verify mandatory at a federal, as a federal law, which would require all employers. It wouldn't add anything that they're required to do other than put the information that they already collect when someone is hired to make sure that they're authorized to work. This goes back to 1986, into a web-based system. So they have basically instantaneous confirmation of whether this person is authorized. And there is a lot of pushback among some business lobbying groups because they don't want to comply with the law. And that's the real problem. Most people who are coming over the border are coming in to the United States to work. The problem is that there's lots of employers who are willing to, too many employers who are willing to break the law in order to give them a job.
And unfortunately, we can't, politicians, I guess, are afraid to set up some sort of fining system. I theorized a while ago, if you get caught having hired an illegal alien, your penalty, your fine should be whatever yearly salary you're paying that illegal alien. That probably deter the situation, too. But business owners, business groups, they make political contributions. So that's an idea that'll never come to pass, no doubt.
And the Biden administration has said quite, you know, outright, Secretary Mayorkas said that they're going to stop doing workplace enforcement. And so if you do want to break the law and hire someone that you know is illegally in the country and is not authorized to work, you're not going to get in any trouble for doing that because the federal government says it's okay with us. And then that sends a powerful signal. And even people who want to comply with the law, if you own a small business and your competitor, you know, down the street is hiring people illegally, paying them under the table and less than they would pay a legal worker, there's a lot of pressure on you to do the same thing in order to compete with them.
And to be fair for you listening, that workplace enforcement, that spans both parties. You can go back in time to the George W. Bush administration where the same lack of enforcement existed. So again, it's simple solutions that for a variety of self-serving reasons, they're not being put to use. But this is what Numbers USA gives a proper spotlight and attention to, with the facts, the figures, the stats, and the empowerment for you as a voter, really the boss of those sitting in elected leadership at federal, state, local levels, to call on them to do really what is just right for all parties concerned. When you think about that, learn more about this issue and learn more about the stats and the facts at numbersusa.com. He is their Director of Research and Public Relations, Eric Ruark. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.